Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you're looking for a summer read, look no further, but only if you're a fan of Downton Abbey or that new PBS series, The Crimson Field, about World War I nurses, or if you like great literature. This book is considered the equal of All Quiet on the Western Front. It's called Testament of Youth. It was written by Vera Brittain in 1933, 17 years after World War I robbed her of her fiancé, Roland Layton, her brother Edward, and two other young men who rounded out their gang. And she was just 21. Virginia Woolf said she stayed up all night to read the book. The Sunday Times said it stood alone among books written by women about war. It's now a movie starring Alicia Vikander as Vera. In this scene, telling her parents she's volunteering to be a nurse on the front lines.
My mind's made up.
France? That's the front. It's so dangerous.
I'll be behind the lines. It's as close to Edward as I can get. I need to be there.
Vera Brittain hoped to convey to young people in 1933 just how shocking the war was to her generation. Here's a reading.
The naive quotations from my youthful diary are included in this book in order to give some idea of the effect of the war, with its stark disillusionments, its miseries unmitigated by polite disguise, upon the unsophisticated ingenue who grew up just before it broke out. The annihilating future Armageddon could not possibly, I think, cause the bright young people of today one-tenth of the physical and psychological shock that the Great War caused to the modern girl of 1914.
Vera Brittain died in 1970 at 76. British military historian Simon Jones joins us from the BBC studios in Surrey for more. Welcome.
Hi.
I have to say, like Virginia Woolf, I cannot stop reading this book. So tell us, who was Vera Brittain? Who was Roland?
Well, in some ways, Vera was very ordinary. She was born into a fairly wealthy middle-class family, and her brother went to Oxford University, and she herself fought to get to Oxford. So that kind of begins to set her apart. She was really bright, but also she had a very strong kind of moral sense. And Roland was a school friend of her brother's. They came from a society who were privileged. For the first time in many of their families, they were going to university. They, as a matter of course, a kind of normal thing for them to do was to write poetry.
Well, we'll talk about that for a second because, as you say, ordinary, except they become or seem extraordinary to us because their poetry is lovely. And Vera, she's an early feminist at a time when people, you know, in the small town she came from thought it was crazy that she'd want to go to Oxford. How would she ever get married? They seem to become extraordinary.
Yes. And you also get a sense from the book that maybe she's more than the people around her can cope with.
Well, let's flesh them out a little bit more. They do love poetry. They write it, they read it, they quote it. Who are some of the poets, for instance, that they're quoting?
Well, before World War I, there was a kind of poetry known as the Georgians, very much referring to nature. And I suppose the touchstone might be poets like Keats. But the war made their poetry go out of fashion because the war made sentimental ideas, you know, it really discredited them.
Well, and you see it changing in Vera Brittain. She's, you know, teen, then a 20-something. And one of the things that's said about this book, Testament of Youth, is that while it's beautifully lyrically written, it is clear-eyed. She had no sentimentality about the war.
No, she admits that she was naive at the beginning of the war, and she also admits that she believed in the war, and she forever regretted the fact that it was her who persuaded her father to let her brother join the army. And it's sometimes said that The Testament of Youth is a pacifist book, but in fact, in the book, she's expressing what most people really felt about the war, that it had to be fought. And it's only as a result of writing the book that she really becomes a pacifist. I think she wrote it to try to come to terms herself with what she'd been through. You know, she'd lost all the men in her life. And she'd lost, you know, the man that she really loved. She thought she was going to marry him. She lost her brother, you know, her only real kind of soulmate that was left. and then their friends as well were all gone. She had to try to work that out.
Let's take a minute and remind people, World War I, 1915, it permeated every aspect of their lives. There was fear that Germans were going to be, you know, marching down their streets. Oxford's infirmaries were turned into military hospitals. She leaves Oxford to become a nurse, a VAD. What does that mean, volunteer?
So, yes, voluntary aid detachment. Yeah. And these were auxiliary nurses. They were regarded as second-class nurses. And so they were always given the menial, dirty tasks to do. But if you wanted to take part, then you'd have to become a VAD.
Well, she did. She wanted to support her fiancé who was in the trenches. And just remind us of what war was like in World War I.
Well, it just took over Europe, but it was a war like no one had ever seen. Within a few months, you have hundreds of thousands killed, and it stalemates into this trench warfare in France and Belgium, this continuous line of trenches. And they can't break through these trenches. Every time they attack, they just lose more and more men. So 6 million men ultimately will serve, and 1 million men from Britain are killed.
Horrific. As she says, it pretty much wipes out a whole generation. Here's a poem that she writes. Often I wonder as I grieve in vain if when the long, long future years creep slow after the war and tears alike have ceased to rain, I ever shall recapture once again the mood of that May morning long ago. She writes continuously throughout this book about how what she's writing about really is her generation's loss of innocence.
Yes, and she's trying to understand it. She's trying to come to terms with it. And I think because of her ability to express it with real honesty, that's why the book was such a huge success.
Yeah. Talk about Roland. I didn't realize as I was reading that Roland, who just seems such a sweet soul. Here's part of one of his poems. He wrote many to her, and this was just before the war. And so farewell, all our sweet songs are sung, our red rose garlands withered, the sunbright day, silver and blue and gold, wearied to sleep. I didn't realize that Roland actually became posthumously a well-known poet.
He has become well-known. I think as a result of the success of Vera's book, and because of the poignancy of their story, many, many soldiers during the First World War were writing poetry, and quite a lot was published. It was a more normal thing to do, and it gives the First World War this really painful poignancy.
Yeah. Talk about her brother Edward, a violinist. He felt he wasn't worth anything if he didn't go fight.
Neither Edward nor Roland were men of action. They enjoyed sports, but they were also very sensitive people. Yet the social pressure was such that they felt obliged to join. But also the war for people then was a moral issue. We kind of forget this about World War I, in that it was the right thing to do. There was a certain amount of naivety about how long the war was going to go on for. You know, over by Christmas was the kind of catchphrase. And of course it went on for 4 years.
So how was Vera's book received 17 years after the war? It took her so long to write it. But how was it received with her notion of both describing the horror that these young people went through, waiting for a loved one to come home, serving in the hospital, these blood-spattered hospitals, losing as much as she did, describing the fear that people had that the war was necessary, but also questioning whether it was. You know, how was that received?
Well, it's a long and painful book, and it was received in the same way on a smaller scale to the way that All Quiet on the Western Front had been received 4 years before. And it was as if people were now ready to think about the war again. There'd been 10 years when really they'd wanted to forget it. Now you could begin to come to terms with it and begin to try to make sense of it. So people are reading it who have experienced similar tragedy to herself. You know, she was by no means unique, and she was never pretending that she was unique. It's expressing that for them, and she does so very eloquently. But there are new generations as well, And I think that accounts for its massive success.
Well, Vera Brittain married. Yes. Her husband had to read this book about this great love that she lost in World War One. Somebody she really only knew for 17 days, but then in letters. Mm-hmm. And her daughter, who was at that time in her late 80s, tells a very sad story of how Vera Brittain never really could let go of those young men that she wanted so badly to make it through the war. And they would talk to each other all the time, her brother, her boyfriend. She'd say, "If we live, if you live." And they didn't. And she even had her brother's violin still until she died.
Yes, and her ashes were scattered on her brother's grave in Italy. He was killed in Italy. And I think that her husband, George Catlin, was forever in that shadow. I think he once said it's rather difficult because you know that you're always going to be the other husband, as it were. And there was always the idealized Roland, who she never really knew as a husband.
Yeah. So now a movie, and it feels as if every Masterpiece Theater, every program that you watch from Britain that comes out of that era had to have read and been informed by Vera Brittain's Testament of Youth. Are you surprised that it's an endurance?
I'm not surprised. I hope that the movie makes people read the book, because you really have to read the book to understand Vera. It's an unforgettable book. I've read hundreds and hundreds of books about the First World War, and this is the saddest book that has been written about the First World War.
British historian Simon Jones, talking about Vera Brittain's 1933 memoir, Testament of Youth, now made into a movie. Simon, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The first few pages are tough, lots of unfamiliar British references, but stick with it. You will be rewarded. It's here and now.